You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter Joe Fusaro. And Joe, the winter meetings are in the rearview mirror. Teams heading back to their regular markets. And the Marlins went into National Harbor, Maryland, trying to snag one of the big three closers on the market. And it's starting to look more and more unlikely that that's going to happen. Reports coming out as we record this on Monday afternoon that the Dodgers close to agreeing on a deal with Kenley Jansen. How big a blow will it be for the Marlins? Kenley Jansen heads to the Dodgers after Aroldis Chapman headed back to the Yankees and Mark Melancon headed to the Giants.
Well, Tim, I guess it's a big blow when you make a priority to land, you know, a front line or, you know, among the best in the game type of closer than if you swing and miss on all three of your targets. But I will say this regarding Jansen. If this deal had been signed with the Marlins, it was going to be one of the tougher internal, signings they've made in a long time, because there was a real split in the organization as to do this. And just like sentiment from the industry, along with the high price tag for Kenley would come the originally the 14th, but now the 13th pick in the draft. And for a system that could use more assets, to depart with that was going to be, really painful. So this, there was a lot of divide in the room about whether to pursue this. Now, that said, anytime you could add, one of the top players at their position, you make your team stronger for the immediate. And, the Marlins, I think, have been prepared to go either way. And, the money that they could have allocated for Kenley could now be spread over, their fallback plan, which was to get probably another two, maybe even three relievers. One of them actually just came on the board with the announcement during the meetings that they're going to get Dustin McGowan back in more of a long relief role. Dustin has been with the club in 16. So now the attention was turned to the Brad Zieglers, to the Tazawa, if I'm pronouncing it right, yep, from Boston. And just kind of look at, Natale Feliz and you kind of come off, look into that list because the Marlins, thinking going in was the strength of this free agent market is bullpen, obviously everyone knows the need for more starting pitching, but if that pitching's not there, it's almost like the approach of a draft. Do you go with the strength of a draft or kind of force another need? So I think you're going to see them be aggressive pursuing, the guys I just noted, whether it's, Daniel Hudson. It doesn't have to be a true closer, but I think they want, because, they're perfectly confident with A.J. Ramos back there. But I think they would like someone with closing experience, because roles can kind of shift over the course of the year. And if, A.J. needs a rest, it's good to have somebody that's experienced step right in.
You won't be able to say that the Marlins didn't try to get one of those big closers, that's for sure. There was reports, Joe, that they actually offered Chapman more than the Yankees did, and he was just happier to go back to a place he's familiar with, obviously, with New York. Jansen, obviously, the money probably wouldn't have been as big because of that draft pick, but you make up a good point. Maybe this is one of those deals in the long run, when you look back at it, that it's better to not have done a deal for Kenley Jansen, because, hey, that's a high draft pick. That's one of the higher draft picks you'd be able to lose, really, in this scenario. So picking 13th is important. We'll certainly see how it rounds out. As far as A.J. Ramos goes, how confident are the Marlins that he'll be the same guy he was early on in 2016 when he really put together an all-star first half?
Well, if people kind of just study A.J. Ramos and who he is and kind of his background and his determination and his competitiveness, this guy may go down as one of the best relievers in Marlins history. I'm not just going to say closer, because closers kind of come and go quickly with the Marlins, but just in terms of durability, in terms of production, a guy who not a lot of people know about, a guy who, when he's effective, has four pitches working for him. Now, what I think one of the reasons why you might have seen him go for a Chance or a Chapman is A.J. kind of gets in a mess and then has a way of getting out of it. He's not the most overpowering closer. He's not bringing 97 to 100. you know, and I think that, and he walks hitters too, because he will not give in to them, and he will use his mix to try to get out of it. And if it's a walk, sometimes that's what happens. So I think, you know, if you're looking for what do you feel the most confident with, sure, you're like Aroldis Chapman going 100, 200, 30 miles an hour. You know, even if he misses down the middle, the chances of being hit really hard aren't always that high. But, you know, AJ is a really confident guy, and his drop-off in the second half of the year would be a concern. But he was dealing with a finger that was slightly fractured, third finger and at the knuckle, and it was having a hard time, you know, manipulating the baseball the way he wanted to, and he was just kind of gutting it out. So, you know, when you say how confident are they can duplicate, first, you know, I'm always one of those guys who, when I evaluate players from year to year, I foremost measure health. And if you are healthy, then you're saying, yeah, chances of production are going to be high. When you're coming back from an injury, this isn't an arm injury, it's not a shoulder, it's not an elbow. This is a, you know, a swollen finger that should be down, and he should be fine. So he's 29, just turned 30 years old, I believe. So, you know, still, you know, pretty young. And a guy that, you know, has kind of come into his own. So, you know, he was an all-star in 2016. So, you know, they certainly have a very good closing fallback. But like I said, if Brad Siegrich could come on board, then you got a guy who offers a different look. And you know, we just kind of maybe swing the topic a little bit, but I think that's what they're looking for, just different looks at their bullpen. You know, they'll have, you know, guys that, you know, a guy like a Ziegler who throws from the side would be a different type of look. And, you know, so they're trying to get as number of guys that give hitters, you know, as much confusion as possible.
How much of a factor also is beyond the money and the fact that you're going to run up that payroll signing a guy like Jansen, there's also the years, Joe, when he would get 5 years, I don't know, maybe 6 years, whereas a Ziegler, a Tozawa, all these other guys, you're probably looking at just a couple of years, which really opens things up down the road as far as spending that money. If you don't necessarily spend it now, it's that much more available down the road.
Yeah, Tim, very good point. I think that's where if you would have done, you know, kind of the, you know, I think what you look at in free agency, we all kind of get wrapped up in it, is excitement and emotion. And that's what the human element, that's what kind of moves us as a fan. But then there's the practicality of it. And I think the effective teams are the ones that make the smartest choices. And sometimes those aren't the most seemingly attractive or big splash moves. So I think you had a good number of people in the Marlins camp saying, look, all along, let's go measured. You know, look what they did with the rotation. Edinson Volquez, 2 years, $22 million. That's not really going to, you know, cripple them as they move forward if that signing doesn't work. And you're completely right. If you could get, you know, pitchers, relievers with track records on 1 to 2 year plans in the $5 million range, and you load up on those guys, in the meantime, trying to, you know, retain your young assets and get that 13th pick and hopefully make a good pick if you're the Marlins, that is probably the sensible way to grow it. But when you're looking at this team with this window in 17, with the All-Star game coming, with trying to sell as many tickets and keep as much competitiveness in the division, you know, that's where the Jansons, the Chapmans become attractive, even if it doesn't, you know, appear logical to people outside this market and for what they're trying to establish. But I think they were kind of in a situation where, you're right, if you go 80, 82, 83 million on Jansen, and also you're parting with your first-round pick, and, you know, keep in mind, you're always that one comeback line drive or that one pitch away from a bad, you know, something bad happening to them. And then what, you know, down the road? And we're kind of looking at 18. You know, as you look at 17, I think Stanton Giancarlo goes to $14.5 million. And then come 18, he goes to $25 million, and it keeps going up from there. So, you know, if you're looking at a closer making $18 to $20 million in 18 or 19, you know, you're putting yourself in a payroll bind that you may not be able to get out of for a while.
Great stuff as always, Joe. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Frisaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.